This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There was a story in the New York Times maybe a couple of weeks ago about how even though Apple and Google have cut back on third-party tracking, in layman's terms, that's little pieces and snippets of computer code that follow you around the internet, even though that's not as big a deal as it used to be, big tech still does have plenty of other ways to collect data about us that is useful for advertisers and thus useful for big tech's bottom line. And look, given the number of stories like that over the past couple of years, you would be forgiven for thinking that your privacy, your right to privacy, is at risk. I get that. But in a new book called Seek and Hide, Tulane University law professor Amy Gatta explores the strength of that right today. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think if I went out on the streets of, Los Angeles outside my studio or New Orleans outside the Tulane Law School and stopped people on the street and asked them about their right to privacy, here's my guess, they would say they probably don't really think they have much of one. What do you think?
I think that's right. And a lot of people have suggested that I'm writing a book of fiction.
Yeah.
But that's quite wrong. So what's happened, especially over the past 5 years, is that courts and legislatures have really taken action and have celebrated privacy to some extent, writing opinions, passing laws that protect us in important ways, including outside. So when you suggest that people are walking on the street, there's actually new court cases that suggest that we even have privacy there.
All right. Well, look, this is a little bit like questions about the economy, right? Because you ask people how they're feeling about the economy right now, they will say, oh, it's not great. And you say, yes, fine, inflation's terrible. But look, jobs are the lowest they've been in 50 years and the economy's actually growing and so on and so on. So my very derivative question to you is, if it's really not so bad, how come people think it's so bad?
I think because we've not heard very much about the right to privacy. So we hear very much about technological advances that invade privacy.
Yeah.
And those sorts of things then resonate much more with us and through media. But in reality, we've always had a right to privacy. That right to privacy began at the very beginning of the United States and continues through today with a real vengeance.
I wonder if the way to think about it maybe is not just about the phone that's in our pocket that knows everywhere we go and everything we click on and everybody we talk to, but maybe a broader sense. And I guess I need you to outline that broader perspective we ought to have.
Sure. There's really this right to be let alone that became part of the law in the late 1800s. And it's that idea that resonates not only when we think about the phones in our pockets, but also this notion of privacy in public, the notion of the right to be forgotten, the right to take back certain information. And again, over the course of the past 5 years or so, there's been a real movement in legislatures and in courthouses to try to regain some of that privacy that technology might have taken from us.
Not to get all lawyerly on you here,
sure.
Professor, but you said regain. So that sort of implies that a little bit of that right to privacy had been lost and we're kind of clawing it back.
That's right. So there was this notion very early on, especially at the dawn of the internet, that the internet was great, that we all didn't need any sort of privacy, that it was open and we should be sharing information with others. And courts went along with that. So right in line. But since then, we've grown into social media, and so now you see judges being very, very worried about the sort of stuff that's being published on the internet.
So let's get out of the realm of law and what the law says and into the nitty-gritty of corporate America, right? Because I think a lot of the challenges that people find with this privacy debate is that corporate America, and I think specifically here of the social media companies like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, but many others, already know so much about us that the move now to regain, as we talked about earlier, that right to privacy is a little bit like closing the barn door after the horse is long gone.
Yeah, you might think that, but with the troves of data that these companies have collected, there's still the ability to pass legislation and decide cases that suggest that those companies don't do certain things with the data that they have. And you see that today. You see a real push to protect privacy in social media posts, in images that are posted on the internet that can be identified through facial recognition. So the law is taking action here and attempting to put the horse back in the barn and protect us, and then also protect children whose digital life then could be used for many, many years against them.
So on balance, would you say then that the trend is, despite all the technological innovations and everything that we've talked about in this interview and that everybody listening knows about that technology can do, are you confident the trend is toward more privacy rather than less?
Yes, that's my sense of things. So reading the court cases that I do, reading the legislation that I do, and I'm a little bit worried about that because as a former journalist, I recognize that as we shift more toward privacy, we could begin cloaking presidents and other politicians with privacy in ways that really impact the right to know. And that's a very dangerous space to be in.
Amy Guyta is a professor of law at Tulane. Her book on the subject at hand is called Seek and Hide: The Tangled History of the Right to Privacy. Professor, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.